we're excited about.
Well, we're going to kick off getting into the Word right at the very beginning, and just really start out with focusing in that. We have a story that I believe that God has for you today to speak to you out of, and the title of the message today is Battles to Blessings, that we want to give to you, that God wants to take your valley of battles and turn it into the valley of blessings, and how he wants to turn it around. And so in 2 Chronicles, we're going to start there in chapter 20. We're going to skip around just a little bit, starting in verses 1 through 4, going into 13 through 17, and 20 through 26 is where I want to hit off of. If you have your Bibles, I know that you may be working and maybe you're watching us on your phone, so it's good to have your actual Bible with you so that you can go ahead and turn pages and still do that if you want to continue watching and don't have to do as much multitasking on your phones to do that. But there is nothing like the literal Word of God that can be in your hand. And so today, take it, turn with us to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And starting in verse 1, it says, "After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Midianites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi.' Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." Go to verse 13. "Meanwhile, all of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehezalel and the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jalil, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. And do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf." Go into verse 20. "And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord set an ambush amongst and against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devouring them to destruction. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to watch to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. And therefore, the name of the place has been called the Valley of Berakah to this day." And God began to speak in the midst of things going on and everything, the craziness. He said, "I want to turn your valley of your battle into your valley of your blessing." And the biggest thing that stuck out to me was two words. It really wasn't said exactly like this, but I felt like if you have children or had had children at any point in your life or been around children, they can become very fidgety at moments. I think adults anymore can become very fidgety at moments, and we don't know how to sit still. And I don't know if you've ever seen a parent just look at a child and say, sit still, just sit still, stand still, do whatever, just quit moving around, quit touching everything, quit smelling everything, quit moving on everything, just stand still for a moment. And I think what God was telling Jehoshaphat at this moment was, stand still, just stand still. There's nothing you have to do anymore. You don't have to move. You don't have to keep going. Just stand still and see the work that I'm getting ready to do. Because your desire to control the situation will change the outcome. The desire that you have to control things changes the outcome. When you want to control how things are done and how your battles that you go through in life, the mountains that you face, the things that you're going through are looked at, and how that you choose to fight them and how you think the enemy needs to be defeated, or how you think your bills need to be paid, or how you think things need to come through, what happens is when you control every situation, whether it's relationship, anything, you change the outcome from what God had desired in the first place. And we wonder why we're still struggling, because we are holding a tight grip on something that was never ours to fight in the first place. When you place the fullness of control in God's hands is when He can release the fullness of His blessings. When you place your control in God's hands is when He can release the fullness of His blessings over your life. He can't release things that you aren't giving Him to release. If you're holding yourself captive in your own mind by trying to control all your thoughts, all the things that are going on, God doesn't have the ability to just, He's a gentleman. He's not going to overtake you and make you do anything. He wants you to, of your own free will, choose to allow Him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life, and choose to have the reign that is properly His. And one thing that God began to speak to me about was that one of the biggest battles that we all can face is restlessness. We become very restless. If I was to ask any of you right now, and you were honest, how many of you sleep really well at night? You know what I'm saying? Well, praise God. But most people anymore in our society don't sleep well. They're restless. There's restlessness that is overcome through their thoughts, and then it comes into the bodies, and it comes into how our bodies process that stress and the different things, and it is hard to sleep. Sometimes it's hard because we've heard of people who have restless leg syndrome, different things like that. There's just a restlessness that's tried to overcome people. And I think when they knew that they had a battle coming against them, there was this restlessness at first that began to get them to kind of fidget and wonder, oh my goodness, how's this going to work out? And these people didn't leave us alone. And look, we left them alone. God, we didn't bother them. Aren't you the God who saved us from this, this, and that? Aren't you going to? And God came in and He said, just stand still. Just stand still. And I think the problem of it is because we live in a constant fight or flight mode. We're always fighting something. We're always fighting something in our lives, some kind of battle. Every day seems to be a battle to wake up, a battle to keep going, it's a battle. And God wants us to turn the places of our battles into a valley of blessing. He wants us to begin to come into blessings with Him. And so I think that being able to turn over our restlessness and become calm and still in God and say, God, you know, we want to give this to You. So when You are telling us to stand still, what do we have to do? We have to choose to stand still and listen. And I don't want God to discipline me because I choose not to stand still. I don't want to feel like I've been disobedient because I think that I have to make the outcome of what I'm facing the way that I think it should happen. And so I put all my efforts into that. When God's telling me to stand still, He's saying stand still. And God wants to fight for us. And I think I read something before we moved to anybody else. That I read something and this stuck out to me the other day. And this is what it said. When God moves through us, He emphasizes our authority. But when God moves for us, He emphasizes our sonship. God told Jehoshaphat to stand still because He wanted to fight for him. giving Jehoshaphat the position of a son who can rest in his father. In the middle of your battle, when the father tells you stand still, what seems restful for you actually violates the enemy and reminds him of his defeat. God wants you to walk away from the battles that you're facing with full hands and full hearts that are restored and able to do what is needed. But if we don't settle into that place of rest with him, if we don't settle into that place, and that doesn't mean that you don't do anything. I'm not talking about lazy rest of nothing. We've sat around, and probably some of us have done too much lazy rest and not been productive in this time at all with anything. But I'm talking about a rest in it right here, that my soul is well, that my heart is well, that my mind is well, that my thoughts are well, that I have peace in the midst of even moving and going to face. Because God still told them to go out and face them the next day, that they were going to march out. They still were active, but they were still in here. That's what hit me. Stand still. See what God's doing. Stand still. I literally heard it today, like God just said, like I would my own child. Stand still. Would you just stand still? Quit moving. Let me do what I need to do. Quit moving in your spirit. And I think that we haven't stood still long enough to let God do exactly what he's needed to do. And he'll do whatever it takes to bring us to a standstill. He just will.
I think a lot of the uneasiness comes from this. I was reading, I went actually back to chapter 19 and began to do a little digging on it, just was prompted to go back. And this is right after King Ahab is killed. Ahab was controlled by Jezebel. Israel was in a mess because they were following a king that had no idea what he was doing, other than making them serve false gods. He had a wife that led them to serve false gods and to worship false gods. And so I think a lot of the things that we struggle with is disorder. And when we have disorder, then things don't function right. And so what I began to read is that in chapter 19, Jehu comes to Jehoshaphat and he says, listen, there's some bad things that you've had going on in your life, but there are some good things found in you. For you've removed the Asherim idols from the land, and you've set your heart to seek God with all your soul's desires. And so what Jehu did was he pointed out something in Jehoshaphat, saying, listen, you've done a lot of good things. You've set your face in the right direction. And I think sometimes the biggest thing that we need to do in our homes is learn to reset our face in the right direction. Because when we begin to feel uncomfortable and unsettled in some things, going back to all the messages we preach, we get unsettled. We don't feel like we're being provided for. It's not God stepping away from us. It's us beginning to live in disorder. And God wants us to bring order back into some things. And so he goes in. He brings order back to Israel. Literally brings order back. Knocks down the idols, and all of a sudden he turns and he calls Israel to a fast. What better way to turn the hearts of the people back to God? And I feel like this season that we've been in was a season, whether you want to believe it or not, of fasting from being in a building and fasting and just getting alone with God and seeking his face. And here's the crazy part. I wrote this down because I think this is the reality. Is it was not until King Jehoshaphat set things in order, meaning bringing the kingdom back to God after Ahab's rule and tearing down the idols and turning their focus back to the real God, that's when the enemy actually attacked. Go back to chapter 20, verse 1. Now it happened after this that the Moabites and the Ammonites together with some of the Munites came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Isn't it funny that when we're in disorder, the enemy never bothers us because we're okay? But the second we fix our disorder and we set our faces back to where they're supposed to be, the enemy then wants to attack because he doesn't want you to get everything to where you're focused on God and doing the things that you're supposed to do. Because if you get things back in order, he knows he's in trouble. It says,
They came to make war against Jehoshaphat. I wrote this. They came to make war because of the shift from sin to righteousness. When we shift our homes from a home and lifestyle of sin to righteousness, that's when the enemy begins to attack, because he wants them idols hidden in your walls to stay hidden. He wants them there because he knows if he can keep them there, then you'll always come back to him. But the second you start tearing them down and knocking them out, then he begins to attack, because he doesn't want you to stay with the Lord. I don't know what's up with my microphone. It's crazy. So you got them attacking. Jehoshaphat comes out and he prays this crazy prayer. I'll tell you what, that prayer is powerful. I'm not going to read it all because it'd take a minute, but I'm telling you, you need to go read it. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse like 5 through 13, and it is just so rich. But he comes out and he says, "Aren't you the God of Israel?" He begins to just lift up the name of the Lord, and as he lifts up the name of the Lord, it's almost like things begin to turn, because then you go to verse 14, and it says, "In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them." When we put things back in order, it gives permission for the Spirit of the Lord to come set back on us again. He comes and he sits. His purpose was to keep focused on God and who he was instead of the enemy that was coming after him and the people. When we take our focus off of the Lord and stay focused on our enemy, we then forfeit seeing the turnaround of what God's hand will do. What I'm saying is this, is that when they became focused on God and when they really set their sights on the right thing, let me say it like this, they put their posture back in order. When they did all of that, it released something in the heavenlies for the Spirit of God to come and dwell on them, and it caused the hand of God to bring a turnaround. Maybe you're waiting on a turnaround right now. I got the answer for you. The answer is to get your home in order. Not the order of going and cleaning up everything, but the order of getting your heart right, getting things right in your mind and in your spirit. You're restless because you're trying to wrestle against the God that wants you to rest. That was so crazy. He wants you to rest, but you're wrestling against him because you think everything in your mind has to be accomplished. The only thing that needs to be accomplished right now is for you to sit and see the hand of God bring a turnaround.
I want to go to verse 8. And, you know, when you went in the beginning of, and you said Ashtaroth, when they built and they tore down Ashtaroth, they tore down a god. It was called the God of War. It was a spirit of religion is what was all torn down. But I want to go back to verse 8, and it said, "They lived here and built a house of worship to honor," saying, "when the worst happens, whether war, whether flood, whether disease, whether famine, we're going to take our place before this temple. We know you are personally present in this place." They're declaring, "We already know we built a house of worship. We already know that you are in this place." But just like you said, when they tore all that out and they got in a place of worship, they built a house. I'm not talking about this building. I'm talking about a house right here. This is a temple right here. And they build a house of a temple before God. What's interesting is whether it was flood or disease or famine, they knew that God was right there. They prayed out of their pain and trouble. When we know that you will listen and you will give us victory. When Jehoshaphat knew that there was a battle before him, the first thing he did was fast. The second thing he did was pray. The next thing he did, now watch, he saw. He listened. Watch this. Listen to verse 12. Our God will not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, so we're going to keep our eyes on you. So we lift up our eyes, which cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. So they prayed. Let me start over. They fasted, then they prayed, and then they looked, and then they listened. Because if they wouldn't have heard the word of the Lord, they wouldn't have put themselves in an assignment to do what the Spirit of God was saying for them to do. So they had to get themselves in that posture, like you were saying, so they could fast. You know what the hardest thing sometimes for our flesh is? To separate ourselves from something. Just like Pastor Joshua said a while ago, whether we separate ourselves and we're not here in the church, that's a fast. That's sacrificing something. You know, sometimes we always think, well, fast is separating ourselves from food. That is correct, but there's things that we can separate ourselves, whether it's a house, or whether our homes are being separated from something of other people, whether it's food, whether it's television, whatever it is. But he chose to set his face like flint. Then he prayed, and then he saw, and then he listened.
Say all of those things again that he did in order. Because I got something I'm going to add to it.
He fasted, he prayed, he saw, and he listened.
Now watch, verse 30. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest on all sides.
That's right.
So when you put your house in order and do all of these things, then the quietness of the kingdom sits on you, and you have rest from all sides, meaning that every position that the enemy could even come and try to attack is then guarded by the presence of the Lord, and it can't even come nigh your dwelling.
But your belief in what God's going to do is proven by the stance that you take. When you believe that God is going to do something, the stance that you take, even if it is standing still, if there's nothing to do left but stand still, stand firm in what God knows to do. When you take your stance is when you are proving your belief in God, that he's got it all taken care of. And then he comes in and literally begins to orchestrate all things for the good. It's that resting place. That's why the enemy can't stand it. That point of when our mind rests is because if he can keep you focused on every other thing, then your mind can't be settled on how good God is and how faithful he is. But when you can get to that place to where your spirit, your mind, yeah, and your body begin to rest into what God has for you, no matter the chaos and the things that are going on, no matter even if the next day you have to march out and face that battle one more time, what happens is you begin to settle into the stance and stand firm in what God has given you, and then deliverance begins to take place because he has the ability to fight what you've been holding on in the first place.
And that's the truth, because if you look at this, when they got everything in order, that's when the Spirit came and the prophet stood up. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord comes in order. It's just like what you were saying. All of a sudden, everything gets in order. Maybe our homes haven't been in order, so therefore our ears have been shut off from the word of the Lord. I wrote this. Maybe sometimes we don't hear the voice of the prophet or God because our focus is in the wrong place. When their posture changed, then the word came. Maybe the word comes when we change our posture. Maybe peace comes in our home when we change our posture, because then the word is released and it gives us that peace to rest.
So the Moabites and the Amorites came against them. Watch this. It was the same spirit that denounced before in chapter 19. So I was looking up the Moabites and the Amorites, this vast army. Amorites means roaring stream. Isn't it funny how after you get quiet, something tries to come in like a roaring stream to try to distract you and try to make things uncomfortable. The family of Sarah, which was with it, was intermarried into Esau. Watch this. The grandson of Abraham. This is an incest with Lot's daughters. I'm going somewhere. This religious spirit also fought against the church. It always fights against the church. The Moabites and the Amorites with Esau, that same spirit of Lot, always fights against the church. Anytime you're not in your worship, anytime you're not in your rest, you're always going to have something that's going to fight up against you and try to take you out of your rest. It's always trying to take the land that wasn't theirs. Trying to take the blessing, like Esau selling his inheritance, his birthright, for a bowl of soup. So all along, it's always trying to take your blessing. It's always trying to disturb you, because that religious spirit, after you've already cleaned your house, you've already taken the things that's not of God, and you've said, you know what, I'm going to trust you with all my heart. So then afterwards, here he is. He comes back in, because if he can creep in one way, he'll come up like this and try to get you to be unrestful, disturbed, whether it's in your night sleep, whatever it is. But this whole vast army was coming against them, was a religious spirit. And we've been dealing with a religious spirit that will always try to take our land. It can't have our land. It can't have, but we have to stand in our worship. He said, this time tomorrow, listen to this verse. The Levites, chapter 20, verse 19. And the Levites, both, they stood there with their feet to praise God, the God of Israel, and they praised to the top of their lungs. Before tomorrow ever comes, you better get your praise on. Before you ever get to this place that God said, this time tomorrow. But if you don't make your action to do what you need to do and take your stand and praise your lungs out, you might miss what God's trying to say in this hour. We don't want to turn our birthright into sell for a bowl of soup. And that was the whole people. That was the whole army that they were coming against.
This is a crazy story. And I really, really encourage you to go back and read this. 2 Chronicles, even go back to 19. And understand this. There's a lot of crazy names and trying to figure all that out and stuff. But I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this, the question today is, What are you surrounded by? What surrounds you? What makes you feel so tight and tense and got you in a whirlwind? What is it? For some people, it might be finances and a job because of what's going on with this virus. And it might be the virus and relationships and whatever it is. Whatever it is. I love... I'm going to read this. I'm going to switch it up again and go to NIV. 2 Chronicles. I tried. It didn't work out for me. But, and you might wonder, like, in reading these, like, what? Why are you guys reading different ones? Listen, it's saying the same truth. It's just giving a different perspective of how it's said. And it's so cool because you can study the Word of God in all kinds of different translations and different ones. And so I find it neat in this here, the king in chapter 20, verse 15, Jehoshaphat, he's saying this. He said, this is what the Lord says, do not be afraid or discouraged because this vast army, for the battle isn't yours, it's God's. So let me say this to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged for this army or for this surrounding or for whatever is pressuring you. It's God's. When you can put yourself in the right perspective, this is the Lord's battle. And you can understand that, then peace will overtake your soul. But when you try in your own strength to take care of some of this stuff, that's when you start fighting in your own strength and you start to get weak and weary and discouraged, depressed, All those things that come with that. It's a big package. But it's God. Don't worry about the vast army. Don't worry about the vast things that are around you. It's God's. It's God's. And I, as I was reading this and listening to them read these things, he's making these bold statements when people are surrounded and they're like, look, there is multiple tribes and armies coming against us that have created all these, you know, alliances to say, we're going to take this guy out and his army. All these are coming against us, and they're thinking, there's just too many. How are we going to fight this? We have our children and our kid and our family members and our loved ones. How are we going to do this? And he's trying to say this. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle's not yours, it's God's. How are we going to get through this virus? How am I going to get back to work? How am I going to get through this? How are we going to get back to church? How am I going to get through all this in my relationships? Listen, this is not your battle. It's God's. Quit trying to fight something. Let God fight for you. Let him fight. And it says in 17, you will not have to fight this battle. But then he says this, which is so crazy. But he says, take up your position. Because when you find out you don't have to fight the battle, what happens is some people get lazy and they get this place of complacency. When I don't have to fight, oh, well, I ain't got to fight. So I ain't got to do nothing. But he said, listen, you don't have to fight. This is God's battle. But I need you to take up your position. Yeah. Don't get ready. Be ready. Yeah. Take up your position. Stand firm. And see the deliverance God will give you. You talk about these mountains around us and you want to be a mountain mover? And if it's God's fight, then you need to stand firm and take up a position, and you will see what the Lord will do. Stand firm. Take up your position. And it says, see the deliverance the Lord will give you. And maybe you haven't seen some deliverances yet, but let's rewind it just a little bit. Have you taken up your position? Have you been standing firm? Well, firm, I mean, you're talking strong, not moving, not letting the wind just take you off your position. Or have you just been easily blown to and fro? Have you just been in a boat that just wanders off? And you hear every little thing, and every time you hear every little thing, your mind goes from faith to fear. You're not staying in that chair. You automatically go somewhere else. But if you stand firm and you take up your position, he's already ready to fight the battle. He will deliver you. It says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. See, the reality of what we pray about to get rid of, what God tries to do is say, you need to face it. Because how else are you going to learn unless you face this thing? And even though I'm going to defeat it and I'm going to do all the fighting for you, I need you to stand and stare in the eyes of the enemy and know, I got this. So you got to face it. You can't cower. You can't run. You have to face this. So stand firm. The statement was at the beginning, do not be afraid or discouraged. It's not your battle. See, what happens is we get lazy. Like I said, when we get lazy in it, then we don't, well, he's going to defeat it anyway, so what's the point of standing firm? Because if you don't stand firm and hold your ground, you will find yourself slipping into the battle. And you'll wonder why. Why am I on the other side of this? And so, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face it, for I'm going to be with you. the coolest thing, and it's the simplest thing, is no matter what you face, God is with you. And then here's where it gets crazy. Early in the morning, he left for the desert. So here's what they're leaving. It says, he's saying, listen to me. It's in verse 20. This is a good one. I love it. You need your 2020 stuff? Here it is. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. 2020. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Then he says this, have faith in the prophets, and you will be successful. Listen, we don't worship prophets. The reason he's saying have faith in the prophets is because they are just a vessel to speak the truth what God has given them. So in the end, just have faith in God. When they're speaking the truth and they're speaking these things, what God has told them, have faith in it and apply it. Stand firm, because that. How do I be successful? Well, he told us, stand firm, and here we go. So when you stand firm in it, you're being successful because you have faith in what the word of the Lord was. If you didn't, you wouldn't stand firm, and if you didn't stand firm, you would probably be on the other side of that battle dead. And so here's after this, it says you will be successful. Like God told us at the beginning of the year, it is a year of faith. A year of faith. And so here's where the twist happens. After all this with the people, consulting with the people, telling them the wisdom, giving them what they need for the journey, like we do every Sunday, giving what you need for the journey. What he does is appoints people to start worshiping, to sing praises to him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, listen. They didn't say, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever, after they won the battle. It was on their way to the battle, which at first they were afraid of, until they knew they had to stand firm. And they were singing. I find us ourselves here in these moments when it's just, we're holding fort with the worship team and we're just singing, give thanks to the Lord during this battle. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Just ringing this huge bell. Give thanks to the Lord. It endures forever. We're in the middle of the battle. We're standing firm. And so he has the worshipers start singing, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And I love this. They're on their way to the battle. Now they got to face it. Now they're standing firm. They're marching out to an outnumbered war that physically they would probably lose, but spiritually, because just one person's on their side and it's God, they win. Well, God, I don't want to just worship. Why are we in front of everybody else just singing through this? Where's my sword? Where's my shield? Where's my helmet? Where's all my weapons? He says, I am the weapon. Just sing my praises. And he says, as soon as they begin to praise, the Lord set ambushes against them. Because what happens is the praises of God disrupts the enemy. They start losing their sense of direction. They start getting all disoriented. They start to be ambushed by who? Not the ones that were afraid. They were still singing, but they were ambushed by themselves. And it says that they were ambushed. And it says that in the end, they helped destroy one another. Why? Because we had faith in God, had faith in what his word said. We stood firm and we were obedient. and we started to worship our way through it as we were facing the battle, and that worship went and disoriented the enemy. And when the enemy heard the worship, they didn't know what they were doing, so they started fighting each other to the death. As they walked up into this camp, every person was, they didn't flee, they were dead on the spot because they destroyed themselves. Bottom line, when you turn your worry into worship, God will turn your battles into blessing. Bottom line. Bottom line. So listen, I know we've said a lot, and this is a big story. I mean, this might be something we got to get into for a couple weeks, but I'm just telling you. Somebody stop results. But I'm just telling you, listen. Take heed to what God is saying. Stand firm. Don't stop. Walk into this. We're in the middle. Listen, we're not getting ready for a battle. We're in the battle. We're right in the middle. We're surrounded. We are completely surrounded, but like that song said, I'm surrounded by you, God. And we're going to worship our way out of this situation. We are going to just abandon all of our fears, all of our worries, and we are literally just going to realize that it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm seriously just surrounded by you. I'm looking at the enemy head on, but I know, God, you said to stand firm. You told me to worship, and when my mouth opens to worship, the enemy's going to scatter, and it's going to destroy itself. Our prayer is that as you worship through this, we're going to see this COVID-19 start to destroy itself. We're going to see families start to come together. The enemy start to destroy themselves. We're going to see financial just start to be a healing and a blessing, jobs opening, all this stuff. Worship through it. We have to worship our way through this. Have faith in God. Have faith in His Word. Stand firm. Walk straight into the battle where the enemy is at and worship your way through it. By the time you get to the destination to fight, it's already done. Because if we wouldn't have done that and we would have stayed back, guess what happens? The enemy would have kept on advancing towards us. But we took the enemy by surprise and we said, we're going forward in this. And that's exactly what happened. So I'm going to end this because I think we can get deeper in this, and I'm so good. This is so powerful. Let's stand firm. Let's stand firm. He's so good. We love you. We're so thankful for you. I hope that what you heard today, I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to what we said because there was so much depth to what we just said today. It's unreal. We're thankful for these moments we get to have together. And listen, remember to share this stuff and chats and all that kind of stuff. Remnant Kids is going to be coming on and all that. We're thankful. And the only way we can end this right now is like we have been ending it. And I love it because what God does is use the worshipers to help set the tone. We're going to just worship our way right now. No, we're not going to wait. We're going to start now. We're going to stand firm like He said. We're going to listen to what God used us as vessels to speak to you. Listen to it. It's going to be successful in your life. It's not about me. I'm a man that just needs Jesus now. Not tomorrow, right now. We'll see what tomorrow holds, but I'm going to need Him tomorrow. So I'm telling you, hold firm. And we're surrounded in this battle, but no, Christ is in the center of it all. And I'm telling you right now, the moment you start walking and you have a boldness and a desire, a focus, it doesn't matter what enemy comes your way. God's on your side. You win. You win. Just worship and stand firm. We're going to worship.